They've beaten the teams they should beat, which really a lot of teams haven't been doing.
Even though we have a whole lot of work to do, I think all the players, we know what we need to do and we're willing to work on it, so I think our confidence is really high. This year, we all understand. We're all playing our roles in Houston.
Welcome back to the Monarch Asylum podcast. I am David Agudelo. I am the host of this podcast, talking all things ODU football. Sorry about the two-week hiatus. Wasn't part of the game plan. I usually take the bye week off. I've only done it 2 years, so it's kind of a thing I do to take the bye week off. But then Hurricane Matthew threw a little wrench in the plans, had to work some extra shifts. Actually, you guys probably back in Hampton Roads got a lot worse of that than I did. So couldn't really get enough work done on the podcast like I wanted, so I apologize about that. But we're back, ready to ride it out the rest of the season. So once again, thanks for listening. Sorry about that, missing those 2 weeks. Of course, the voices you heard on the top of the program are who you will hear on the show. We welcome Dave Johnson from the Daily Press. Been trading emails with him for a little bit. So we've been trying to get him on the podcast, and he's on. So we have some really good insight from David. David Washington, another David, he's the quarterback. We get him for this podcast. We talk about the offense and how things are working for him with his receivers. And finally, we have Aaron Young, the senior cornerback. He comes on and talks a little bit about the defense, what he sees, and a little bit of the Children for Humanity, the first event that they had with the new charity work that the Monarchs are putting together. Well, we're at the halfway point of the season. I think this bye week came at a perfect time. 4-2, great start, and with six more games to go, and hitting just the meat of the schedule. So I think this bye week's at a perfect time. ODU comes off the bye week 2-0 in conference, good for second place in the East, and two nice convincing victories over Charlotte and UTSA. Teams, two victories where they looked like the better team, like they should have won those games. So that's good to see. Now we're in the meat of the schedule, at Western Kentucky, at UTEP, home to Marshall, home to Southern Miss, and then our Florida trip, which always seems to end the year, at FAU, and home to Florida International. Well, listen, to give you my thoughts, I had a nice conversation with Dave Johnson, beat writer for the Daily Press, who covers the Monarchs, Christopher Newport, William & Mary, Hampton, covers them all. But we had a nice conversation about ODU football, what we've seen so far, and what we think is going to come. So that's coming up, and right after that, you're going to hear David Washington. Then right after that, you'll hear Aaron Young. Right, continuing on in the Monarch Asylum podcast, got a brand new guest. Want to welcome Dave Johnson from the Daily Press to the podcast. Dave, how you doing today?
Good. How you, Dave?
Do you enjoy the bye week?
Well, I cover three other teams as well, so it wasn't much of a bye week for me.
Yeah, I know. I knew that going into that question. That's kind of the life of covering sports. I had a Hurricanes game to do and stuff along that line, so there's no rest. Yeah. No rest for us this time of year.
Very much.
Let's talk a little ODU football. We're officially at the halfway point. Six games in the book, six games to go. Where are they at right now, do you think, from the preseason expectations to where they at right now?
I think they gotta feel really well, really good with where they are. I guess the cynic in you would say that they haven't beaten like a marquee opponent yet, like a Western Kentucky who they have coming up, or Marshall or Southern Miss who they have later, but they've beaten the teams they should beat, which really a lot of teams haven't been doing. Southern Miss lost, everybody's losing. The only two undefeated teams are Old Dominion and I'm blanking, FIU, I believe.
Yes, it is FIU. They're both leading. I believe FIU is 3-0 in the division of all things.
Exactly, and then they also haven't necessarily played any of the better teams yet, but still, you got to take care of business and win the games you're supposed to win.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, it's funny because it's always about getting to those six wins for ODU as a program right now. So you always want to do every season before it starts, you do that little roadmap. They should win this one. They should lose this one. They should win this one. And what I find of impressive is, yes, they have won the games they're supposed to, but the last three, they've looked really good doing it.
They did, and it's been since 2009, I believe it is, since they held three teams below 20 points in a row. And they did that with San Antonio, which, you know, that win looks a lot better now, Charlotte and UMass. So they're winning games. They're winning them by double-digit margins, which, you know, before most of their conference wins were by a field goal or something. So they are certainly looking good, and obviously a very large challenge coming into this week.
I think what I've liked too, especially the last couple games, especially particularly against Charlotte, is, you know, I always like seeing the athletes, the ODU's athletes, compared to the opponent's athletes. And I think there's been a couple times in the recent games when ODU was clearly the better team, and it was apparent on the field.
I agree. They are playing a lot better. Just and a big question I had coming into the year was, how good would their defense be, and would David Washington be able to, you know, stay healthy? And the defense has been not only very good, but much better than I would have guessed. Who would have seen Anthony Wilson having the year he's having, for example? And then David Washington is, after that first game, which he got in Bobby Wilder's doghouse for taking some hits, he's been very smart about sliding when he has to, picking up a yard when he has to, knowing the difference. And as a result, he's been really good. So you take those two things, which were my big questions coming in, and both of them have been answered positively.
Yeah, we talked to David Washington a little bit later in this podcast. I talked to him about that, the sliding. You know, I felt like I was revisiting my Michael Vick days when he was with the Eagles screaming slide at the television when he would run. You know, he'd run for 15 yards and he'd drop the shoulder for two more. I'm like, you got the first down, slide. And, you know, it took some time, but he finally learned that lesson.
It's not being anyone who had any mobility, even when I was younger, I can't relate to it. But I imagine when you're a competitor and you're athletic and you're out in that situation, it's kind of hard to tell yourself, okay, just go down. So
yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, I can't because I'm very slow. But
the one thing with David Washington, continuing on with him, he's still leaving some throws on the field, though. It seems like every 10th throw is maybe an airmail job or at someone's feet. A lot of games I'm seeing, he has maybe 10 or 12 incompletions, 220 yards, when you really have the feeling that should be closer to 300 with three or four more completions.
Yeah, that's a good point. There is two ways you can look at it. He's completing 56%, which is not what you wanted. You want it above 60. Probably around the 62 or 3 range at least, I would think. But the thing that looks really good is 172 attempts and only 2 interceptions. He's not turning the ball over, which is, of course, the main thing you want out of your quarterback. But you're right. There's been several games that he's bounced a throw that should have been a completion. And he'd be the first to tell you, I'm sure, that his completions percentage needs to get up there.
Let's move on to another position that I think kind of been the MVP on the offense, the running back. Listen, when we all knew what Ray Lowry, the nickname I've been trying to get him going, Dave, I don't know if you know about this. I've been trying to get him the nickname Baby Bull, Ray Lowry going. And he seems to like it, and people have been using it. So, you know, it's not official yet, but we're still there. But Ray Lowry, I think we all missed him with the injuries and we had questions. But, man, Jeremy Cox has just looked like the real deal filling in.
Yeah, he has been really, really good, especially the last 3 or 4 weeks. And coming into the year, they one of them was hurt or the other one was hurt. Now they're both healthy. And with those two guys healthy and, you know, fresh legs, that's going to be a tough thing for opponents because they're both having great years, both averaging over 6 yards a carry, scoring touchdowns, and that's a really solid 1-2 punch, whoever's one and whoever's two.
And I know Bobby likes to play the hot hand. I just think with Jeremy's true true ability to break tackles a little better than Ray. Ray uses more his quickness and speed to break that tackle, and Jeremy will just power through you. To me, this looks like an offense where Jeremy should be the number one back, and Ray should be the change of pace, speedster, kind of little do everything second back.
That's sort of the way it's been lately. I don't know if that's been by design or by, you know, just the fact that Ray had the ankle there for a while. But yeah, they're different type of runners, and it is a good change of pace, as you put it. But Jeremy Cox is you're right. He breaks tackles. He runs over people. 9 touchdowns in 5 games. I mean, he's obviously got a nose for the goal line too.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, particularly helpful too with, you know, the tight end still being kind of in question. You know, they still do a lot of just 5 linemen and 4 wide, so you need that extra little beef on the running back. Let's look at the receivers real quick. You know, what I like about the receivers is the development of Fulgham, the development of Duhart. Those guys are getting a lot of trust in David Washington. Zach Pascal's doing his thing, but these guys just, they seem to make the play when it's needed.
Yeah, Pascal has been just great, really, the last couple years. Duhart, the guy has surprised me a little. I don't want to say surprised, but he's making some plays that I necessarily wasn't expecting. Is Fulgham, he's made some nice catches for them, has a couple of touchdowns, and they have 3 really, really good receivers that, you know, Washington can go to at any point. And Melvin Vaughn's been getting a little bit more opportunities in the last few weeks as well.
Yeah, I was curious about Melvin most of the beginning of the season. Mostly that was from talk out of the ODU camp that he was going to utilize him more. But it just looked like he's had trouble kind of fitting into the offense right now. I think, you know, you underestimate some of the blocking duties he has. So I understand that through a tight end. But I thought he'd be a little more integral in the passing offense.
Yeah, I don't have their game by game in front of me, but if memory serves, he wasn't used that much early, and it's been a little bit more lately. I might be wrong about that. That's just what's in my head. And again, I don't have their game by game in front of me, but he seems to have emerged a little bit lately.
All right, we're with David Johnson of the Daily Press. You can follow him on Twitter at DaveJohnsonDP. Let's move on to the defense. Listen, the MVP unit of this team, the defensive line, led by a guy that I feel might become the first draft pick in Old Dominion history in Rashad Coward, but just depth, size, and athleticism across the board.
He's been outstanding. He's got, you know, 5.5 CFLs and a sack, and he's just been doing everything that they were hoping he would do this year. And you're right, the defensive line, which is something they thought was going to be a lot better because they have so much more depth there than they ever had. You know, with Jimenez and Ratimi has been playing really well also. And Ricks, you know, everybody knew what to expect of him. He's developed into one of the best linebackers in the league. But as I mentioned earlier, Wilson's the kid who's really surprised me with what he's, you know, 4 sacks. I don't think anyone saw that.
Yeah, 3-1 game. And, like, you know, he's kind of, you know, the picture perfect linebacker who's kind of filling the holes that, you know, the defensive line kind of honor their responsibility. And he's coming in and filling the holes nicely.
Yeah, and it's interesting. He's a senior, and coming into this year, he had 50-some tackles. I can't remember, 54, 55, something like that. And he's got 44 this year. So he's almost to his total for 3 seasons.
Let's move on to the defensive backs real quick. 6 interceptions by 6 different players. One of them a pick 6 earlier in the year. Aaron Young, he's on the podcast a little later talking about how the defensive line helps those guys out. But I can see I think it takes a little bit of time for a DB to kind of get used to the pressure a D-line creates, because you're used to covering your guy, and then Young mentions it. Sometimes that ball comes out a little bit earlier than you expect. So you got to be ready for that. And they've been reaping the benefits, I think, of a good pressure from the D-line.
Yeah, they have. It's got to be one of the tougher positions to play. And because, you know, so many, you got to think so much. You know, do I need to, is the quarterback going to take off? Do I need to stay back? You know, and you're on an island with the cornerback, as they say. But yeah, they've been doing a really good job this year. it seems like, you know, in years past, they got lit up a lot by opposing quarterbacks. This year, it's only, you know, about a 56% completion and, six picks, only eight touchdowns. They've been really good. And absolutely, the pressure that the line is getting has played a big, big role in that.
All right, take me through your emotions when you're up there in the press box watching a game and the field goal kicking unit comes out. Or they come out to kick an extra point, because it's been quite a roller coaster for that unit.
It really has. I don't know if there's any other team in college football that's had two extra points returned for 2 points in one season. That's pretty unheard of. But they've had a lot of problems there and issues there this year. But it seems to me that Davis is starting to give them a little stability there. His thing is he's got a good foot. He's accurate and he's got a strong leg. But I guess on that, the blocked extra point against UMass, it seemed like he took forever to get the ball up, which I think is what the problem is, the time between the snap and the kick that they really need to focus on. Because, you know, it's, oddly enough, they won both games where they gave up the 2 points on the block kick. But, you know, eventually that's going to cost you. That's a 3-point swing.
No, you would think. And especially with some of the games on the schedule down the road, you know, they're going to be, you know, back and forth, fourth quarter. So those points matter. Listen, I give a little credit to Bobby Wilder. I'm a big Bobby guy. I think he's good at adjusting players to fit his scheme, not fitting his scheme to the players. You know, or no, vice versa. I always get that backwards. You know, but you know what I mean. He finds the players and he gets the most out of them. And I give him a lot of credit in that kicking game, because Davis went from really, I had basically no confidence. And then the following week, he was kicking like 35, 40-yard field goals, which was crazy, because a couple weeks before, Bobby wasn't going to put him out there for anything more than 20 or 25.
Yeah, I think it was San Antonio, he went for it on like a 4th and 5. Or something like that, but you're right. It's he comes out against UMass and he looks like a totally different kicker. So I think that's you're right. That's that apparently the coaching staff has had a lot of confidence in him in that.
I know there's some. I do like to go on the message boards every now and then. I don't know if you do. They are kind of entertaining. I find it interesting.
That's one word for them.
I find it interesting the universality of sports. You know, covering the Hurricanes for 13 years and the Dolphins now, and you know, a little bit of FIU is. It's always the same story. It's, you know, backup quarterback needs to play. Play calling is bad. Coaching doesn't know what he's doing. But, you know, I like what Bobby's done this year, especially when you sprinkle in, you know, the youth and the experience on this team, and not to mention some of the outside stuff that has been happening with the team, like the Circle for Humanity and stuff along that. I think he's done a good job of keeping this team focused.
Absolutely. The coaching staff, the entire coaching staff, I think, has done a real good job of that. And it's pretty interesting. You mentioned the Circle of Unity, which made its debut in the San Antonio game, I think it was. And they have, if you think about it, you know, we were talking about these last three games that the defense has played so well, and they've won, you know, double-digit games, double-digit margins. All three of those games came after they did the Circle of Unity. And Wilder said, you know, he believes that has really helped their play on the field. That wasn't necessarily the design, but it sort of, you know, improved the team chemistry, just the whole attitude of the team, giving them perspective and everything like that. And they have really played their best ball ever since that first time they did the Circle of Unity.
What kind of feedback have you seen from that? Because I know a lot. I personally like it. I think if you're going to have action, you want to follow it up with. If you're going to have some kind of political statement like that, you need to follow it up with action, which they have done. I know they had their first event with their Children for Humanity. We talked a little bit with Aaron Young about that. But have you seen? I've heard some people even complain that, you know, I don't want politics in my football. What kind of reaction have you seen ODU getting for what they've done with that?
I think that, I mean, no one could possibly be against a circle of unity circle and or the Children for Humanity. I mean, how could you possibly be against unity and children. And that you'd have to be a raving lunatic to be against these things. What I think some people got upset about is there was a picture of some of the players with Black Lives Matter t-shirts on before the San Antonio game, I believe it was, and that rubbed some people the wrong way. You know, people have their opinions, for better or for worse, but I don't see how anyone could possibly have a problem with a Circle for Humanity. I mean, seriously, you'd have to be nuts.
And if you're talking about raving lunatics, you've obviously been on Twitter.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
So, listen, the second half of the schedule starts out pretty tough, obviously at Western Kentucky, then at UTEP, but then you get a couple games at home against teams that were normally league beaters but now look like they're struggling in Marshall and Southern Miss, and then we finish with the annual, seems like every end of every year is the Florida trip, you know,
yep.
FAU, FIU, back-to-back at the end of the season. But do they get those two wins?
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at that because you're right. You look at Western Kentucky, which has been, you know, they've killed him with, what, 55 points one year and 66 the other. But Western Kentucky gives up a ton of points. And that's what I think is the way this game is going to shape up, that Old Dominion's defense is better than it's been in any of their previous trips there. So, who knows? They could pull that one off. UTEP is going to be a tough opponent, but, you know, especially being down there. But what is their record now? I can't even find it. But they've got a lot of chances. They, you know, a lot of, you know, six games left. You need to win two. And I also think you can look at that schedule and maybe just look at it and say, who knows? They could pull out seven wins, or maybe, you know, who knows? Because they're playing really well at this point.
Especially with the defense being such a wild card, you know, when defenses can get kind of that groove, especially on a game-to-game basis, if the D-line is just having a good matchup that they can abuse, especially with their depth with a Tim Ward, you know, and Daniel Pooh,
yeah.
Some of those guys that really, you know, they just run them out there. You know, you just never know what could happen.
Exactly, and you know, I was fumbling with UTEP's record a second ago. They're 0-3 in the conference, 1-5 overall. I mean, that certainly would be a winnable game for them. Southern Miss is obviously very tough, but they were upset by I want to say San Antonio. Was that right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, San Antonio beat them, and so who knows? It's they're in a good position, and there's no reason they certainly look good to get that sixth wins, and but they could even get seven or possibly even eight. It wouldn't be unheard of if they get eight wins.
Yeah, and I think the keys is defense, keep doing what you're doing, keep running the ball, and I still, like you said earlier, you alluded to it, I think David Washington's health, listen, has been great so far. He's been amazing, but I'm still always a little wary that he's one hit or one, you know, one non-slide away from walking, limping off that field, which we've seen happen too many times. But if those things can keep going, I'm very positive.
I'll tell you one thing about Washington is that when I saw him in preseason, I couldn't believe how much bigger he was than the last time I had seen him. He put on some weight in a good way during the offseason. He gained a lot of muscle because he wanted to be prepared for hits. Of course, you know, Bobby Wilder doesn't want him to get hit at all, and I understand that. But, of course, let's face it, you're going to get hit as a quarterback. And he's gotten bigger, so that might help him fend those off as well.
And just last thing, I didn't want to tell you that I didn't ignore the offensive line, but I'm a big believer you don't talk about the offensive line unless they stink. So I've actually been pretty happy with the offensive line. They've been doing a fantastic job. I mean, like I said, you know, that's offensive line and special teams. You know, that's one of those things you don't like talking about it. You know, they only talk about it when they're bad. Unfortunately, we had to talk special teams. But, you know, just to tip the hat to the deep offensive line, they got some young guys there playing, a couple veterans, and they've really been up to the task this year.
Yeah, they really have. And you're right. People never talk about the offensive line unless the quarterback's getting sacked. Or the running game's not working. Well, the quarterback's not getting sacked, and the running game's doing very well. So I guess that tells you right there that they're doing their job up front.
Well, Dave Johnson, thanks for coming on the podcast. Where can people find your stuff, and what are all the schools you cover? I know you're on dailypress.com, and I know I follow you on Twitter at DaveJohnsonDP, but where can people find your stuff?
You said it, dailypress.com. I cover Old Dominion, William & Mary, Hampton University, and then Christopher Newport, which is a Division III school here.
And Twitter, how do you like Twitter? Are you a fan of Twitter? I know you sounds about right.
There are some cool things about it. I can't say I'd honestly necessarily be on there if I didn't have to be, but I don't know. That is the way things are now. That's how you find stuff out. That's but some of it's a little nuts to say, to be honest.
Oh no, it's interesting. It's the lowest common denominator sometimes, but I still enjoy it. Well, Dave, listen, good luck the rest of the season to you and covering your 3-4 teams, and go Monarchs. Hopefully we can maybe pull you back on the show later in the season talking about a bowl game.
Anytime, Dave. Thanks for calling. I feel like having some church up in here. Come on.
Can't take my joy, devil. Makes me cry.
Makes me clap my hands. Check. Makes me wanna dance.
Oh, you better put them hands together and have a Holy Ghost party with me.
All right, continuing on in the Monarch Asylum podcast, I want to welcome the quarterback to the podcast, David Washington. David, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How's practice? How's practice going today?
It was good. We got a lot of work. For different situations, so it was pretty good.
I know Coach Wilder's big on the situational football. How often, I mean, is that, what, take me through a practice. How often is it very specific to certain situations?
Throughout all of practice, it can be a situation at any time. Any time he might just say sudden change. We can be in the middle of individual or special teams to say sudden change in offense and defense. Got to go into the field and get a couple reps of football and then just go back to what we was doing before. And then every practice, we practice third down, fourth down, we practice red zone. So it's a situation at all times in practice.
Take me into that sudden change. Is that, how often does he do that? And is it, I guess it's completely different from what you're working. So it's like field goal or something along that line?
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll be just doing an individual. And they have to say sudden change. You got to flip your mind. You got to be ready to play football.
Does anyone ever get caught? I mean, I imagine that's good in practice, but I mean, I imagine he can scream sudden change and maybe some guy doesn't hear it and he's on there a little bit late. Does that ever happen?
No, because when they yell it, everybody yells it so that everybody knows. So, no, we have never had that happen.
All right. I can imagine if everyone's screaming it. Let's talk about the offense this season. What do you like about where you guys are at right now?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, I like our record. It would be nice to be, you know, somewhere undefeated, but I like where our record stands, and I like where the team is going. We definitely have a whole lot more work to do, but I like the trajectory that we're going.
Well, that always leads into my next question. What are some things you think you need to work on? What does the offense need to improve at?
Well, for me personally, I know I need to work, just continue to work on my pocket presence as well as just – being comfortable with my receivers and making the right reads, being on everything on time. The offense as a whole, I mean, we can always get better on third down, and we're not 100% in red zone, so we can always get better at that. I mean, those are the main things that we need to work on.
Well, take me into that, because it looked to me this last game you did a nice job of stepping up in the pocket. I know a lot of times the quarterback's habit is to kind of drop back, especially when you have wheels like you do. But you seem to have a good – last game you really looked like you kind of stayed in the pocket and stepped up at times. Is that something you've been working on to really kind of respect that pocket?
Yeah, it's tough, especially, you know, with my natural instincts would be to run, just stepping up in the pocket. But once they come in, even Shula and Blake and Drayton, they do a really good job of reminding me to step up in the pocket and look for your check out. So,
Take me into the relationship with the receivers. It looks like a couple times I talked to Jonathan Duhart earlier in the season. It seems like you have enough of a rapport with the receivers. You can kind of, you know, kind of do that look at each other and know, you know, kind of that give you a look, you know what I mean, from a quarterback to a receiver, and you guys are on that same page. How is it, do you have that relationship with the receivers right now?
Yeah, we have a really good relationship on and off the field. And that's with all the receivers. I mean, I think just being in that room for the time that I was in the room, I got a really good relationship with them. And I think it's been just being a quarterback and then being still being a receiver. So.
And tell me, when you look at those running backs, I mean, we know Ray's been a little banged up, but Jeremy Cox just comes in and is handling the load like it's really no big issue for him. What do you see out of the running back play?
I mean, what Jeremy's doing is something that we've been seeing in practice since he's been here. I mean, we got a couple more good backs. We also got Tamonte. We got Josh. So, I mean, we still got a couple more backs, even if Ray or Jeremy were to go down, God forbid. But we got some nice backs.
A couple more questions with David Washington, the quarterback. David, just where's the confidence of this offense right now going forward, really getting into the meat of conference play?
I think our confidence is sky high because I know that even though we have a whole lot of work to do, I think all the players, we know what we need to do and we're willing to work on it. So I think our confidence is really high.
I do have to ask you this because it was a point earlier in the season with the sliding. You know, I know you took a couple shots early in the season, and now it seems that you're totally willing to slide early, you know, after you get that chunk yards. How hard was it to kind of rewire your brain to do that?
Well, after I got benched, the end of the game, it became quite easy. Then I took a couple of hits, and I was like, okay, let me go down. Yeah. Those extra hits are not important. And it is a part of growing up and maturing. Is you just realize that extra 1 yard, that extra 2 yards in the first quarter are just not that important.
No, I would always scream. I'm a big Michael Vick fan, and I always scream at the TV with him. I'm like, slide, 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 and he never did. Last question for you, David Washington. I did see that you threw for 51 touchdowns your senior year of high school.
No, I think I had a total of 51.
Oh, okay, so you threw and ran for some. Okay, I saw that number. Man, that's a hell of a season. How good was that offense your senior year?
I think we got split. I think I rushed for like 18.
Okay.
But the rest were passing. But I mean, we had a really good offense, and our confidence level on that offense my senior year was so high, and I had a bunch of good weapons then too. So it's kind of the same as how I feel now, except I don't have to run as much.
No, nice. Well, David Washington, thank you for coming on the podcast. Good luck the rest of the season.
All right, thank you so much.
I don't sneak this. It's just butter up. It's just butter up. Just facts. Facts. Woo. Your artists be taking my swag. I wonder if I can come take some of yours. Just wondering. When I go just get wondering. A new Bentley, I just want to double park it on the curb.
All right, continuing on in the podcast with Aaron Young, cornerback. Aaron, how you doing today?
I'm all right. How you doing, David?
Good. How's preparation? You guys got that nice little bye week. Always seemed like the right time for you guys right in the middle of the season. So how's it been having that extra week off?
Yeah, it's actually really good. We had a lot of guys on our injury list and injury report, so a lot of guys got to get healthy, got to get in the ice bath, get a lot of work with the trainers, and everybody's getting their bodies back.
Yeah, that's always important. It's always nice when you can have that bye week right in the middle of the season, you know, not too early, not too late.
Right, it's kind of perfect.
Tell me a little about the defense. Listen, 19 sacks, 6 interceptions, 6 fumble recoveries as a group. It's really, you know the history of ODU football. It's really offense, and then, oh, yeah, look at the defense. And now the defense is really making a name for itself. How have you seen it develop this year?
I've seen it develop over the past 3 years. You know, I've been here. I'm a senior now, so I've seen it develop over the past 3 years. And this year, we all understand. We're all playing our roles in defense. You know, in the past, some people might try to make up for a lacking point in the defense. Everybody's strong. Everybody's from the D-line to the linebackers to the DBs. Everybody's strong. So everybody's just playing their role in defense, playing the system, and listening to the coaches.
It seems to me, too, like in football, turnovers are important, but I think forcing them is the way to do it. You know, you can get lucky with a bad throw once in a while, but you really need to force it with pressure and anticipation in the backfield. And it seems to me that you guys have had the ability to do that this year, to force the turnovers more in the past. Is that something that's emphasized?
Definitely. We have our own little turnover circuit in practice, so we're always focused on forcing turnovers and making sure that we are going after the ball, jumping throws, catching interceptions, and making people fumble all the time. You know, our turnover margin is +9. It's one of the best in the country. So we definitely focus on that, and we focus on not turning the ball over on offense. So that's all our mindset has been on defense, is taking the ball away.
No, talking to a couple of the offensive players, I find it interesting the rule in practice that if you fumble as an offensive player, you're done with practice the rest of the day. I imagine that's got to teach them, you know, to keep the ball, to not put it on the ground. But what is this turnover circuit? What is that? You do that in practice?
Yeah, our turnover circuit in practice, where we just focus on getting the ball out, making sure that when the first person makes a tackle, secure the tackle, the next person comes out, rips the ball out. Just making sure that we practice dumping throws, going through receivers' hands, and going to get the ball, and making sure that in any route a receiver runs, we know what we're doing, we know how we can go to get the ball in each route.
What do you like about this defense? I mean, when I look at the players on it, you guys got a unique combination of not just seniors, but walk-on seniors. And then you've got young studs, you know, young talented guys who were recruited by a lot of people. It seems you've got a unique mix.
Definitely. I think we all match together. You understand? Like, I won't say we have an extremely, I guess, where there's a bunch of star guys and everything like that. But we definitely have guys that want to win. We got guys that know the system, know the plays, and know what they got to do. And everybody just wants to win. This is one of the first years, I'll say, we've had in the past year. This is one of the first years where I'll say we actually want to win and want to play and understand the system and really just want to dominate in every facet of the game. You know what I'm saying? The past three games, we led up 19, 17, 16 points. So we're actually trying to, like, dominate, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's one of the things that we've gotten accustomed to on defense.
Well, when you talk about domination on defense this year, you got to mention that defensive line. You could see it a couple times. I saw it in the Charlotte game where they just overmatched the Charlotte offensive line. What do you see from them? Because I imagine, you know how it works, the pressure they supply really affects you guys on the back end. So how have you seen that unit, specifically this year, but even the last couple of years, just kind of improve, because they're becoming borderline dominant?
The thing is, it's crazy, because as we see it in the back end, like, we see how easy the pocket closes. Like, you can just feel it closing, and you know that the ball has got to come out soon. So it's helped us. And that our D-line is as dominant as it gets. I really feel we are the best. We have the best D-line in the conference, and one of the best D-lines in the nation. All across the board, we're big, we're strong, we're fast. I mean, it's just, it's really a thing of beauty to watch.
No. Yeah. In a couple of those games recently, you can just notice it. You just notice it. And it kind of gives you, you know, for at least watching it from our end, it kind of gives you a little, you know, little sigh of relief, you know, knowing that, all right, we have the better unit. You know, sometimes you go into a game and the units are even, but there's sometimes when you go in when you know you have the dominant unit.
Right. And it's crazy because everybody's really eating. You know what I'm saying? We have 19 sacks, but not one D lineman has more than like four. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, everybody's getting the plays. Everybody's making plays, and everybody's doing the right thing, being in the right position to make sacks.
Yeah, and the team leader in sacks is actually a linebacker. So that goes to show you how that's working. Listen, we all know the goal. You know, we want to hit that bowl game. You're halfway there for 3 wins. You got 6 games left to go. What needs to happen for you guys to get that?
What needs to happen for us is just playing the next game, playing the next practice, practicing every single day. We got to win every practice. We got to win from Monday to Friday. We got to win. And on Saturday, we got to be 1-0. That's all we're focused on, is being 1-0 every week. We're not focused on any bowl game. We're not focused on any conference championship. We're focused on being 1-0 every week. So if we get to 1-0 every week, we know we'll be in a bowl game. We know we'll be in a conference championship. So that's what our focus is on right now.
We'll talk about the next one coming up. Western Kentucky, as hard as a place there is to play up there in Western Kentucky with the Hilltop. They tend to defend home field very well. What kind of challenge do you see from them? Because you know them, they like to sling that ball around, and they tend to usually have a high powered offense.
Right. Yeah, and like Coach Wilder said, told us in the meeting yesterday. In the past 3 years, all the conference games, they haven't scored less than 35 points. We know they can score. We know they're a high powered offense. They're a great team. They're well put together. So we just got to do ours. We just got to focus in practice, make sure we're in the film study, making sure we recognize all the routes, all the combinations, all the formations, so that when they do get in position to score, we can stop it. And if they do score, we just play the next play. You know what I'm saying? You know they're a high-powered offense. We know they get points on the board, but you just got to remember that they got players on scholarship too. So throw the we now. So now when they make plays, we got to make plays. So at the end of the day, we just want to make more plays than they make. So
last couple questions. Last couple questions with Aaron Young, cornerback for your Old Dominion Monarchs. We saw recently you did have the first event with the community, with the Circle of Unity and the charity, the fundraiser you guys have started. Did you participate in that event?
You said what? That was the last thing you said.
The event, I did notice that you guys just had your first event, I know, with the Circle of Unity and, you know, what you're doing in the community with the kids and the practices, playing with, you know, when you invited the kids and the police officers. Were you a part of that first event?
Oh, yes. I definitely was a part of that first event. It was a great event. I think it was extremely well put together. We had about 35 kids, Coach Lowry said, and we're just trying to make our mark on history, make our mark in the community. You know what I'm saying? We feel like we can reach out to these kids and change their mindset early so that they can grow up, be great Americans and great human beings.
I noticed Bobby Wilder, you know, he did some national, he did a Sports Center interview, he did a couple national radio show interviews. The attention you guys got from doing that, did you guys expect that? And how has the team received that? Because I imagine it's got to be pretty nice to cause something that would kind of create a movement like that.
Right. And I don't think that was our intention. Our intention was just to express ourselves. We felt a certain type of way. We expressed it. Did we know we were going to get attention for it? Yeah. We definitely didn't think it would be this big. But we definitely expected attention, because anything you do that's controversial, you're going to get flack for, you're going to get backlash for. But that's not what we cared about, you know what I'm saying? And in any event where you're trying to get your emotions out and how you feel out, you're going to get backlash because some people might not agree with you. But that's not what we wanted. We didn't care about that. We just wanted to express how we felt. And we're glad that people who do agree with us and want to help us, and people who don't want to help us, we're glad for you too. That's what America's for. Everybody has freedom of speech, and that's what everyone's fighting for.
Well, Aaron, hey, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for telling us a little about the defense. I know we'll all be behind you guys here this second half as you try and, you know, take it one game at a time and get that bowl bid.
Okay, thank you.
At the end of the show, so I'll give you the music recap. The first song you heard was CCR, of course, Creedence Clearwater Revival with Green River. I forgot to ask Dave Johnson what his pump-up music was, but I like CCR, and he seemed like he liked CCR, so I went with some CCR. The next song you heard was Kirk Franklin, Stomp, David Washington's request, another gospel. I think it's the first double request for gospel. First repeat performer request. First time someone's been asked twice, then Kirk Franklin, Stomp. For David Washington. The next one is Mikos, That Way. That's requested by Aaron Young. Probably the most eclectic collection of music on the show I've had, going from classic rock to gospel to current hip-hop to the Western Kentucky fight song. That's the last one. I like fight songs, so I thought I'd throw that in there, because that is the next chance for your Monarchs. Listen, this is going to be a tough test. But we know that going in, it was kind of circled probably on the calendar as right outside the App State, the NC State game. This is probably the toughest game on the schedule. And it's a tough place to play. Since Jeff Broms took over, Western Kentucky is dominant at home, 13-2 at home since 2014. And get this, they average 50 points a game in those games. So it's going to be a challenge. And the major challenge is going to be for the defense. But I think they're up for the task. Listen, this is coming at a perfect time. You're coming off the bye. You get nice and rested up. You've got some nice momentum after a good first half. And you got a little street cred going in as a defense. You got a little swagger, people talking about you, saying, look, and ODU's not what it was in the past with this high scoring and limited defense. Now the defense is getting some of the accolades. So this is a great challenge for the defense right now. Listen, Western Kentucky, 142 points scored in three games. That's the best in the league right now. So that's... that's quite impressive. But on the good side, they give up 112 games a game in conference just through three games. That's second worst. So there's going to be chances there. There's going to be chances to take advantage. with that offense. It'll be interesting to see how ODU handles that, and I'm specifically interested in more in the defense, as has been the kind of reoccurring theme. Listen, you know, when we step up, when you step in the big conference football, your defense has to show up to play. You can't be a doormat. You just can't be a doormat. And so this is going to be a good challenge. You know, I think Western Kentucky's going to win, but I think ODU has a chance to win. So it's a little bit of both. But, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how this one plays out. It's going to be quite a challenge. You know, I hate to be one of those just keep it close guys. But, you know, I think they have a chance to win. They need to play mistake-free football. They can't turn the ball over. And I think they need to sustain some drives, which they have the ability to do with that running game, especially with the emergence of Jeremy Cox and Ray Lowry as kind of a two-headed monster. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. Listen, we're going to be back on schedule for the rest of the season starting up next week. Let's get this Western Kentucky game. Let's go steal a W, be in the driver's seat for the rest of the season. All right, that's it for this episode of the Monarch Asylum Podcast. Glad to be back, and let's finish the season strong.